This is a Dive Into Malaysia travel podcast, episode 10, with Dive Into Malaysia founder, Sharon Gourlay. In today's episode, I'm discussing how to get around Malaysia quickly, easily, and as comfortable as possible. Because if you haven't been to Malaysia before, or even if you have, it can seem complicated to start with, to work out how you can get from A to B when you have no idea what's on offer and how well it works. The good news is that there are some great options in Malaysia. Everything is quite affordable and very good value, and you won't have problems getting between most places. In this episode, I'm talking about all the options, which includes flights, car hire, private taxis, trains, ferries, and buses, and all are great options.
Welcome to the Dive Into Malaysia Travel Podcast, the place to be when you're dreaming and planning all the awesome adventures you could have in Malaysia. Each week on the show, your host Sharon will take you from underwater adventures in one of Malaysia's marine parks to standing on top of the world in Merdeka 118 in KL to eating the best food you'll experience in your life at a hawker center to planning how to get from A to B and where to stay. It's all here.
So today, we are talking about how to get around Malaysia. I'm assuming you've already listened to episode 2 and have made your way to Malaysia and are now working out what to do next. But before we dive into everything Malaysia, remember you can find today's show notes at diveintomalaysia.com/episode10. This has links to everything I talk about today and further information to help you plan your trip. Now, I hope you don't mind the little breaks between episodes we've just had recently in this podcast. I've just been in Malaysia, travelling around Sabah in Borneo and Western Malaysia, visiting Penang, Kuala Lumpur, Port Dickson, Taman Negara, Muar, Johor Bahru, Desaru and more. It was such an awesome one-month trip and I have so much to share with you over the next few months before I head off again to explore Sarawak some more. But I'm back at home now and I just have so much that I want to tell you about. But today we are going to stick to just talking about getting around Malaysia or we'll be here for literally weeks. And I'm going to cover an overview of the different transport options to get around Malaysia, all about using flights to get around Malaysia, private taxis, car hire, all about taking trains in Malaysia, taking buses, and also taking ferries. So all the options that you have available to you. So let's start. So your options to get around Malaysia include flights, taxis, car hire, trains, buses, and ferries. Now they're all good in their own way, and there's never really a wrong answer, although trains are quite limited on where they are going and how useful they can be for travellers. And obviously ferries are just for certain circumstances. Flights can be useful in more circumstances than you might think, and there is a great domestic flight network in Malaysia. It's the only way to get over to Borneo or East Malaysia, as it's also called, from Peninsular Malaysia. But it's also useful within the two parts of Borneo as well, like going between Sarawak and Sabah and within an area too, so within Peninsular Malaysia, especially if you're going from one end to the other. Sometimes tickets for flights can be even cheaper than bus tickets. And for longer journeys, it's definitely worth looking into. Taxis can be the easiest way. This is long distance taxis I'm referring to in this episode, since you can arrange to be picked up at the airport or your hotel and dropped at your next one. So you don't have to deal with any luggage, terminals, or anyone or anything, or the heat and humidity. You're not super sweaty before you even get there. It's really quite relaxing. It's air conditioned and it's comfortable. Driving yourself in a car hire is also a good option. We've hired cars many times and find it quite easy to drive in Malaysia. Trains can be good if you're going between cities on the west coast like Kuala Lumpur to Ipoh, but otherwise they can be not that useful for tourists and take longer than all the other methods in general, unless you get lucky. Right, like KL to Ipoh, yeah, great, take the train. But generally, it's just not that easy. Buses in Malaysia can be a great option as they go many routes and many of them are super comfortable with only 3 seats per row. Great recline and they're quite nice. They can be on the slow side though. Finally, ferries are a necessary option if you want to visit some of Malaysia's beautiful islands or you want to get adventurous in Sarawak in Borneo or even travelling along the coast in Borneo, ferries can make a lot of sense. Now, every ferry I've ever caught in Malaysia has been fine, but they can feel a little bit more complicated to catch compared to the other options. So let's dive deeper into each of these options. Now, flights can be surprisingly affordable, especially if you book ahead. A sail fare in Malaysia can be as low as 30 ringgits to travel between places, which is really not much money at all. There are a few budget airlines in Malaysia, which helps keep these prices low, and even the main full-service carrier Malaysia Airlines can be quite cheap or even the same price as those budget carriers. For longer distances, you definitely want to consider a flight, like Johor Bahru to Penang or to islands like going Kuala Lumpur to Kotabaru for the Perhentian Islands, or onto Langkawi. For more complicated routes, like getting between Penang and Langkawi, it can also be the best way to go, okay? Because currently that route doesn't have a ferry. Hopefully it comes back soon. But otherwise, you're taking multiple forms of transport to get between them, and it's just much easier to fly. Now, you 100% need to fly between Borneo and Peninsular Malaysia. There is no ferry there. You have to fly. Like I said before, within Borneo can be great too, as some of those overland journey times are quite long, particularly if you want to go between Sabah and Sarawak, the two states there. But do remember, when you're thinking about flights, it can seem like the journey time's really short on a flight, but you do need to think about all that extra time that it involves, like getting to the airport, checking in, getting through security, waiting for your flight. There can be delays, and it does seem more common to have delays with flights than other forms of transport. And then, of course, when you get to the other end, you've got to wait for your bags, you've got to get to your next hotel. So say like Kuala Lumpur to Penang, which only take 4 hours to drive, it's not usually worth flying unless you're connecting from another flight. Also, make sure that when you look at prices for a flight, remember there's a lot of budget carriers here, and even ones like Malaysian Airlines, the cheapest price won't include baggage. If you want seat selection and other extras too, they're usually on top of the price that you see. Now, Skyscanner is a great place to give you an idea of the airlines on the routes that you're thinking about, and to see if there's a direct flight. Because often if there's not a direct flight for those shorter journeys like within Peninsular Malaysia, you can be better off going overland if you can't go direct. But I would say there is a bit of a big issue with flying at the moment, and that's just the fact that a lot of flights are getting cancelled and rescheduled at the moment. On the trip that I just did, I had 5 domestic flights booked in. 3 were cancelled and the other 2 were rescheduled. Okay. Thankfully, in 2 cases, the rescheduling was not that bad and I could still use the flight. It was okay. 3 cancellations were much more annoying because I had to rebook closer to the date, so it was pricier. Getting the money back is also taking far too long, and it's super frustrating. Now, that was mostly AirAsia. I must say, after this, I'm a bit worried about booking with them ever again, especially after I realized they have no phone number and no way to talk to a person. They just have an IA chat, which is completely not useful when you're just not getting your money back and there's no way to complain. So I am a bit hesitant to recommend AirAsia anymore. But generally, flying is pretty good. I'd just be more reluctant to book so far in advance now because they do change a lot. So yes, it can seem easy flying, but they do come with its own problems. Now let's talk about taxis. Now within Peninsular Malaysia or within a state in Borneo, these can be the quickest, easiest and most comfortable way to go. You can also book them direct from Singapore to anywhere in Peninsular Malaysia, which is particularly nice as you don't have to get out of the car at the border. Whereas if you catch a bus between the countries, you have to get out on both sides with all your luggage and then catch another bus. In a taxi, like it feels so super luxurious really. You just drive through, you stop at each side, your driver will hand them your passport and that's kind of it. Now, the best part about pre-booking a taxi is they can pick you up right at your hotel or the airport or anywhere else you want and drop you off at your next hotel or wherever it is you want. There's no lugging around luggage, working out bus terminals, wondering if you're in the right place at all, having to bargain with taxi drivers when you arrive somewhere. It's just so much easier. Now, all you have to do to book one is to go to diveintomalaysia.com/taxi and we'll give you a price quote and we can book it for you with a safe and reliable local operator, whether that's between places in Peninsular Malaysia or across into Singapore. Now, at the moment, you do need about 5 days beforehand at least to book this. And ideally, I would book it at least a couple of weeks in advance just to make sure there's an option available for you. Although some of the ones out of Singapore, I can book for you within a couple of days. It's much easier. Now, we are actually building a system at the moment so we can book them for the next day and this will all just be automated much more easily. And that might be available when you're listening to this. But in general, you are best booking long-distance taxis at least a couple of weeks in advance. Okay, so like I said, you can see prices and everything else at diveintomalaysia.com/taxi. Now, taxis can be especially useful if you want to go on a route where there isn't a direct bus or if you want to make the most of your holiday time. For example, to fit 3 East Coast islands into my itinerary when I did that a few years ago, I took a taxi from Mersing, like so off the Tiernan Ferry, to Kuala Terengganu. And so I was looking at least 2 buses, and that was if I was lucky to get between those places. And I didn't think I'd be able to do it in a day. A taxi was just so much faster and easier and way less stressful. And you could be waiting for me when I got off the ferry. And I got it straight to my hotel in Kuala Terengganu. And then I was ready to go the next morning on my ferry across to Redang. The downside is that it generally does cost more than taking a bus or a train, but it is just oh so easy, especially if you travel with kids like I do. it is just very luxurious. You get picked up at your hotel, you're air conditioned, you're not lugging around your suitcase, and you're just driven to another city or across the border in the case of Singapore. And it's just fantastic. The cars are generally in very good condition as well. My main local partner in Malaysia actually has a brand new Alza, which can take up to 5 passengers and is very comfortable. I'm just about to go on a ride with him soon, actually, with 2 of my kids. So another easy option is car hire. I wouldn't say it's as easy as being driven around, that's for sure, but it's still great. And the flexibility with a car can be great too. It's really easy to hire a car. I look at sites like Rental Cars and Klook for the best prices, and the links are in the show notes, of course. The biggest downside, I think, is that you generally have to pick up and return to the same place, or there's a big one-way fee, and not all companies will even let you do that anyway. So you'll want to start your rental somewhere with far more options like Kuala Lumpur or Penang. Now, I actually find driving in Malaysia easy. It does help that I'm from Australia and we drive on the left as well, but it's really not that much different to driving in Australia. The biggest difference I find is lack of indicating, and people drift around lanes. It was a bit crazy when I first got there, how people just drifted everywhere, it felt like. But everyone drives pretty slowly, so it never seemed dangerous. And the good news was that when you're driving in a foreign place, it's very easy to be in the wrong lane. And if you want to drift across because you suddenly realize you need to take the next turn off, it's super easy. Everyone drives as though everyone's about to change lanes at any moment. So that means you can as well. You can change lanes at any moment and it kind of works. Of course, be as safe as you can. I'm not advising you don't indicate or you don't pay attention. Of course not. Now, there are tolls on the main highways, so you do need to get a touch and go card if you're going to be driving around Malaysia and load some money into it. These are really easy to buy. You can get them at toll kiosks along the highway, petrol stations, or touch and go hubs. We've been able to buy them and load money onto them at toll points by making sure we pick the right kiosk. It would be marked where there was one to do that. If we pick up the car in KL and we're straight on one of these tollways, we can just buy it at the first kiosk. So it's pretty easy and the tolls aren't crazy prices. Now, there's often paid parking in cities. It's usually easy to work out, but if you're a bit unsure, heading to a shopping center car park can be a good option. They can be paid as well, but usually it's much easier to work out in those and very straightforward. Now, there's lots more information about driving in Malaysia and getting car hire in the show notes, so make sure you take a look at that. Now, the pros of hiring a car is that it's great for going wherever you want, whenever, right? It's great for flexibility, especially if you're going somewhere like the Cameron Highlands where attractions are spread out and a car is really handy. Now, it's less ideal when you're going somewhere like KL and there is a ton of traffic and parking is tricky. Now, personally, although we've hired a car a lot and we've hired it from KL Airport, we've never driven into the middle of Kuala Lumpur with a car. I just don't really see the point. You'd be better off if you want to see Kuala Lumpur as well, going there, spending a few days and then hire your car to drive elsewhere. Now, next up is trains. Now, I know a lot of people love train travel and the trains in Malaysia are comfortable and efficient. If you're traveling a route like KL to Ipoh, then this can be a great option. But the biggest problem with trains in Malaysia is that they don't really go many places. And even the main route up through the country from Singapore across to Johor Bahru up to KL and then onto Penang and the border with Thailand doesn't have one train that goes along this. You actually have to catch a few different trains, which means it just really doesn't work that well unless you are on a segment of that where there are trains that run more than twice a day, because a lot only run twice a day. It's just hard to make it work. In fact, to get just from Singapore to KL by train, you have to take a train from Singapore to Johor Bahru, then one from Johor Bahru to Gemas, and then switch to one from Gemas to Kuala Lumpur. Okay. And it doesn't go near popular places like Malacca on the way either. The best place to consider trains is between Kuala Lumpur and Butterworth. Butterworth is just near Penang Island. If you get the train there, you can walk a bit from the train station and get a ferry across to Georgetown. Now, if you're planning to visit Ipoh, Taiping, or somewhere along there on the train line, getting a train between Kuala Lumpur and there can make sense. If you want to go on to Penang, I think you're still better off catching a bus where you'll end up on the island. Between Kuala Lumpur and Ipoh in particular, there's a train about every hour or so. So for that route, yeah, train it, definitely. But otherwise, it can be tricky. Another train to try would be the so-called jungle train from Johor Bahru up to near Kota Bharu, which is near the Perhentian Islands. Now, I haven't done this myself, but it's definitely on the bucket list and it sounds like a cool journey for train lovers through the jungle of Peninsular Malaysia. Okay, so it's a bit of a different route that you can't take any other way. I just about never find a train that fits into our holiday plans, but if they can fit into yours, a good alternative. Longer ones like the jungle train have sleeping compartments, but you do need to book early to get these. At the time of recording this, you could only book tickets directly on the Malaysian Railways site, which I linked to in the show notes. pre-COVID, you could also book on EasyBook and Bus Online Ticket, which was much easier. So hopefully they go back to that again by the time you are listening to this. So buses, probably you are going to catch some buses when you're in Malaysia. They're a great way to travel around the country. They run tons of places. They generally run regularly. And many routes have affordable, super comfortable buses with big reclining seats. It really feels like you're in luxury on most Malaysia buses. There can be some questionable taste in music, and they don't have toilets, which means it stops every couple of hours at least for toilets and possible food breaks. Now, while I have read the occasional person complain that their bus drivers drove like maniacs, my experience is totally the opposite. I have caught many buses in Malaysia over the years. I've never had a maniac driver. They've always been driven super carefully, maybe too carefully because they go so slow, it feels like. So they can take a really long time. I usually find it takes much longer than what schedules say, which is the biggest downside for me. It's a little annoying when you're expecting a morning bus ride and you want to enjoy your holiday and do stuff in the afternoon, but the bus takes the whole day, which has definitely happened to me more than once. Still, if you have the time, it's a fine way to travel and usually super affordable. Now, to book your bus tickets, this is super easy. There are many great sites, and my top picks are Bus Online Ticket or EasyBook, and I link to them in the show notes. Now, let's talk about ferries. If you're visiting Malaysian islands or want to escape the world in Sarawak or travel along the coast in Borneo, you may find yourself needing a ferry. Now, ferries can vary from what you probably picture when you hear ferry, a bigger boat with tons of seats inside, to the so-called flying coffins in Sarawak, which are long, skinny, open boats with small wooden seats. And just to state there, they're called that because of how they look, not because like people die on them or anything. Now, I've caught quite a few ferries around the country and I have found them fine and efficient. Where it can get tricky is that some ferries, like the one to Tiaman Island from Mersing, can only run when the tides are the right level. So that means they don't have a regular timetable. Or in Sarawak, you may need the river to be a certain height. Usually you'll take a ferry as it's the only option, so you won't be comparing. Although sometimes in Borneo, they can be quicker to traveling overland, so it becomes a more viable option. Ferries are usually reasonably priced, but more expensive than buses. And most ferry tickets can be booked online easily on Bus Online Ticket or EasyBook, which I link to in the show notes. Some routes are not available online though, which can be a little annoying. So that's it. Today we talked all about your options for traveling around Malaysia. These are flights, taxis, car hire, train, buses, and ferries. And they're all fine options. You're probably not going to have any problems on any, except for maybe some flight cancellations and rescheduling that you'll be able to fix. Now we discuss the pros and cons of each of these options and when they are best so you can work out what to use on your trip. Now remember, you can find the show notes for this episode at diveintomalaysia.com, episode 10. Make sure you subscribe to this channel because next episode I'm talking all about Johor Bahru, the entry point to Malaysia if you're coming from Singapore and home to the fabulous Legoland Malaysia. If you've ever thought about visiting this area of Malaysia or are curious to learn more about what it's like, make sure you listen. I look forward to chatting with you then.
Thanks for listening to Dive Into Malaysia Travel. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for more travel inspiration, planning advice, and fun about traveling in Malaysia. Don't forget to leave a review so we can continue to bring you the best content. See you next episode.